Hi, I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky, and today we're talking with Sherlyn Stevenson, who is running to take Andy Barr's place in the U.S. House. Before we get to that interview, though, I'd like to remind you that if you like the content we're doing in our channel, please subscribe, hit the like button down below, and visit forwardky.com to learn more about what we do and to sign up as a member. Let's get on to our interview with Sherlyn Stevenson. So we're here today with Sherlyn Stevenson, who is running for Congress to replace Andy Barr in the 6th District. Sherlyn, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much, Bruce. I appreciate you having me on, and that is exactly what I am running for Congress to do, to move Kentucky forward.
Excellent. This feels like, as Yogi Berra once famously said, this feels like deja vu all over again. You've been on here before. I've interviewed you when you were running for House, and we've talked at various events along the way. But I wanted to find out, even though I'm pretty sure I might know the answer, what caused you to come out of, quote, retirement and decide to run for this particular seat?
Well, you know, Bruce, I've never been one that really is somebody to just sit down and shut up. And so when my people, their healthcare, their food is being threatened, and we just have, so many things going wrong right here in Central Kentucky, I could not stay quiet. I had to stand up and try to do something to better my people.
It's interesting when open seats happen, it's like a scramble, you know. It doesn't affect you directly, but I'm interested watching the Senate race with Mitch McConnell retiring. Everybody and their brother is declaring that they're going to run. You've got Zach Dembo and Aaron Petrie. Is that all the Democrats plus you?
No, David Kloiber is running as well.
Okay. All right. Well, unlike the others, you have experience.
Yes.
You've done this drill.
Yes.
When I interviewed you a long time ago, it was about how did you repeat in the House after they tried to get rid of you? Because of course, Republicans are scared of strong Democratic women.
They are.
So you had a real good process. Tell us a little bit about how you run a campaign and probably how you're running this campaign.
Yeah. Well, we run as hard as we possibly can. We always run like we are 20 points down. I mean, that's the old adage, but it's true. You have to do that. And a campaign's kind of like throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks. What works for you may not work for your neighbor, and it may not work for the guy in the 5th house down. So, you know, you have to do all of the things. So you have to be like a little magician. You have to be everywhere that you possibly can be. You have to be reaching out to voters on every platform that you possibly can and trying to get information to them in every way that you possibly can. That's the whole thing, right? We all hate that we have to fundraise because money is not the most important thing in politics, but the things that are cost money, and being sure that your message is getting through to every single voter and trying to convince them that you have the winning message and that you are the person that's going to go fight for them and their family in the halls of power, and then be sure that they actually get out and go vote and cast that vote for you. So you have to do all of the things. And so that's just the way that we have operated. We're heavy door knockers. And so I believe in getting out, meeting people where they are. How can you truly be a real representative of the people if you're not out talking to them and talking about the hopes and dreams that they have for their families, but also listening to their fears and their worries, when they lay down at night, and what's keeping them awake? So you got to be out there. You got to be on the ground. You got to be talking to the voters and really listening more than you talk. And that was a winning formula for us for a long time. We flipped a district that had never, ever been held by a Democrat or a woman here on the south side of Lexington. And we were able to do that. And then we were able to hold. And then after they strongly came after me in redistricting, we held on then by 37 whopping votes, again, by that formula, just getting out, knocking doors, talking to folks. I have a very, very dedicated team. And they are amazing. They're the best surrogates in the world. So they're excited. We're excited. We are absolutely going to do this. We are going to flip this seat from red to blue, and we are going to finally give the folks in the 6th Congressional District a voice in Congress that they haven't had for a long time.
I'm impressed. You started out talking about we and my people, and you just used the word us. You, when I talked to you before, I was very impressed by the fact that you had a core team that not only, planned and so on and so forth, which anybody can have a meeting and draft a plan, but they went out and on your behalf knocked on doors and took your message and so on and so forth. I assume you still got that team. Have you grown it? Is it has it expanded from when you were just running for a house district?
Yes, it has. And it has grown and grown since that very first campaign in 2018. We knocked about 24,000 doors that year. And really, there were about 10 of us that did that.
Right.
And so we bumped that number up. We consistently had knocked about 30,000 doors in all of the other races. And that had grown. I mean, there were days, there were Saturdays when we had 30 and 35 people out knocking doors in a day. I mean, I hate to brag, but there were days that we would knock, 18, 1900 doors in a single day.
Wow.
And I know that some campaigns don't get that knocked in their entire campaign season. So I am very fortunate. I have cultivated a group of people that have the work ethic that I do. I've never asked them to do things that I don't do. So I am out there knocking doors with them. I am out there pounding the pavement just as hard as they are. And people like to see that, and it's great when I'm knocking with somebody and I'm on one side of the street and they're on the other and they can be like, "She's just over there," and they'll yell at me and they'll be like, "Sherilyn, turn
Right.
around and wait." And I will. So, but I think that's important. I think it's important for the voters to see that as well, and a strong leader will never ask people to do things for them that they're not willing to do for themselves. But it takes a team. I'm not in this for myself. I am in this for all of us. And they know that. And I am constantly overwhelmed by the fact that these people are willing to work so hard, but they know that they're not just doing it for me. They know that they're doing it for us too. This is a group of people that love their community and want it to be the best that it possibly can be.
Later today, I'm interviewing Dr. Rachel Bitticofer. I don't know if you've heard of
Ooh,
her.
of course I have.
Okay. Well,
Fancy.
so one of the things that she emphasizes is, without putting too fine a point on it, how ignorant most voters are about politics. It's not something they follow every day. And with that in mind, for a lot of local races like this, it's name recognition is so critical. It's like they go into the polling booth and it's like, well, I know that person. Okay, so I can vote for that person. I have to ask, how did Tuesday make you feel? I know how it made me feel, watching the I said in my article on the website, which I hope you read occasionally, I said I expected some of these people to win. I did not expect the margins, just kicking ass up and down the ballot.
Yes, it is
So
so exciting. Like I have chills all over my body right now just listening to you talk about it. Yeah, absolutely amazing. But finish your question. I'm so sorry.
well, I was just going to say, normally anybody running for anything in Kentucky, unless your last name is Beshear, it's, blue to red is, I mean, red to blue is very hard. We've got, candidates in a lot of different places who, I mean, I want them to run. I love the fact that Virginia just had 100 candidates for 100 seats for their House of Delegates. And I would like to see Kentucky do that. But, we have to be honest. Look, you're going to run. It's going to be hard. You're going to lose. I mean, that's just how it is. But Tuesday made me wonder, okay, maybe some people are getting fed up with the whole thing, and maybe we can turn some people out, and maybe some of the Trump supporters either stay home or go, no, I'm tired of this. How did it affect you, and how did it affect your team?
Well, we are all buoyed, obviously. I mean, it was so exciting watching all of those returns come in. And the next day, I happened to be in DC and I was talking to somebody and they were like, oh my gosh, this blue wave. And I was like, you know, we can call it blue, but let's be honest, in large part, it was pretty pink. There were so many women who won on Tuesday. And that was a message that really struck home with me that Democratic women are getting it done for us right now because we are all pissed off. You know, women are the ones that are going to the grocery store and having to see those prices and make those hard choices there. I know a lot of women are the people who pay the bills in their house. And so they are the people sitting down, you know, at the end of the month and trying to figure out is there more month than month? And so I think that they're tired of making those decisions. They're tired of telling their children no. They're trying to make hard decisions that affect their households. And we have too many families that right now are having to make really hard decisions about rent, medicine, and groceries. And we should never, ever in the richest country in the world be asking our people to make decisions like that. And so I think folks are paying attention. And I understand that. I know that we have families that are working very hard. Some of those parents are probably working multiple jobs and they are juggling their children. They're juggling getting them to and from school, going to their multiple jobs, getting dinner on the table, getting homework done, taking their kids to soccer or ballet or whatever it is that they're doing, then getting those kids a bath and in bed. And then what little time is left, they're cleaning the house, they're picking up, you know, cleaning the kitchen, they're picking up and preparing for the next day. And so when in that day do they have time to sit down and read the newspaper and really try to understand all of the nuances of what's happening in Congress? They don't. And I get that and I understand that. And so those are the people who aren't paying attention, but they know that things are different when they get to the checkout at the grocery store. They know when they sit down to pay those bills that things are wrong. They know when they get to the gas pump that things are not going the way that they need them to go. And those are the people that are going to go out and vote for something different.
Is it easier to tell the story on the porch about, okay, Republicans just passed giant tax cuts for billionaires at the same time they're cutting off your food stamps?
Yeah. I mean, it is. Obviously, having those one-on-one conversations are critical. And for me, it's easier. A lot of that group that we just talked about for me are retired teachers. And we know teachers can read people like books. And they have been, unfortunately, having these hard conversations with parents for decades now. And so they know how to have those conversations and they know how to help people connect dots. And that's what's really important here, especially for those voters who aren't as informed as we are. You know, I realize that we are not normal people, that we eat, live, sleep, breathe this all the time, and that we have people that just have circumstances that don't allow them to be that way. And the divisiveness and pettiness of politics turns a lot of people off. And I get that too. But that's why getting out and knocking on those doors and talking to individuals one-on-one, meeting them at their home, is very, very important and something that we're talking about. Whether I'm talking to people on their porch or I'm talking to a group of 200 people, is that right now we are so fast, so far beyond red versus blue. We are in a time where it is billionaires versus you. So, you know, I heard somebody else say, you know, it's no longer left versus right, it's top versus bottom. So, however you want to look at it, I mean, that's America right now. And so we are at a very critical juncture to where people can vote for more of the same and for things to only get worse, or they can vote for a new direction where we collectively, you know, come together and say, no, we've had enough. You know, I believe that it is time, just like the old days and the coal miners decided that they had had enough of paying the company store and living in the company town, and that they organized and they fought back and they won. And it's our turn to do that too.
I have to admit that I'm inspired by listening to you say that because I have felt for a long time that Democrats were too much into policy and, you know, we're going to talk about these things like this. And the truth is that most people want to hear, it's bad. I'm going to make it better. Here's how I'm going to make it better, you know. So I have to ask, we have turned campaigning into a year-round sport, it seems. Are you finding people engaged? I mean, obviously your team is, I get that. But if you're out, it just start the filing deadline was just recently, and
Yes.
people are like, wait, we're talking about a year from now? You want to talk to me about an election a year from now? Are people open to that? Or are you finding people say, well, come back and see me in February?
No, they're open. People are struggling now. So they are ready for change now. And they hate that it's going to be another year before they can actually have a say in that. And so people vote with their pocketbooks. And so folks are pretty fed up right now. Everything is more expensive from homes to hamburger. So, folks are upset, and I know that we all saw on election day this week, our Secretary of State put out kind of a snarky comment about the fact that people were calling, wanting to know why their polls were closed, and he was like, "Sorry, you can't vote for people in Virginia or wherever." But I understand how folks were confused because when you turn on the TV, Republicans in our Senate primary are already running television ads every 20 seconds. We are already out talking to folks. So I understand how people were rightfully a little bit confused because when you turn on the TV, it seems like, they're running ads as much as they will be this time next year. So folks are paying attention right now. And so the key for us is going to be keeping that momentum up for a whole year. But I don't see things getting better anytime soon. I mean, we're still in absolute gridlock in Washington. So many folks feel like the politicians up there are not paying attention to their lives here. And that's the message that we're using because that's who I am. I'm a small town girl. I came from the mountains in Eastern Kentucky where everybody knew everybody. And the first question that we always asked people was, "How can I help?" Not, "What party are you?" So, it's just getting out there, convincing people that we care and that we are in this for all of the right reasons to get rid of the people who are in it only for themselves. Is that message is taking. And again, it's just keeping those folks on the hook and getting them to use the anger, the frustration, the sadness that they have and turn that into action.
You were in D.C. for Candidate Week last week, and so the election was this week. So it really wasn't part of that week.
No,
But
yes, we were here this week. I just got back last night. So I
oh,
was in
okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was last
yeah.
week. Okay, so the election happened in the middle of Candidate Week.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So,
Electric, as you can imagine.
oh yeah, I'm sure everybody was like amazed. Well, here's my question, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because we could probably just unpack this question for an hour. But I get the feeling that Democratic voters have been so frustrated with their leadership and not taking the fight to Donald Trump and to the Republicans. I mean, like I said, I'm interviewing Rachel Bitico for later today, and she's been screaming about it for years about, you got to take it to them. And I get the feeling that Democratic voters are looking at the people running in this past election and going, yeah, they're going to fight for me. They're going to tell the truth. They're going to come after these billionaires, particularly, of course, in New York, where that was an amazing race. Did you get the sense? You're with the DNC, I assume, or the DCCC. Did you get the sense that they were getting that message, that they were going, hey, our voters are ready for us to do something different?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
They know that, I mean, the writing's on the wall, and it doesn't take a fancy poll to tell you that people are angry right now, that people are struggling right now, that people are angry right now, and that we can play the blame game all day long if we want, but at the end of the day, there's a group of people up there, and they are voting to hurt us. And so we see a lot of people not being able to necessarily distinguish between a lot of the voters are just like, the politicians are killing us. Politicians aren't working for us. And so that's all encompassing, right? So we have got to do a better job of getting out there, getting our message out, and saying, yes, I'm running for a political office, but I am a public servant. I'm not a politician. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this to enrich myself. I'm not working. I have lived paycheck to paycheck. I know what it means to live with the emotional and financial fears that come with a sudden medical emergency. And I think that we're going to see a lot more working class people be elected this time around. I really do, because I think that that is something that the people are hungry for. Too many voters view every single person in Washington as an elite, and that is kind of the problem right now. And I understand why folks might be a little bit upset with the Democrats and feel like they have kind of turned to that. I mean, we've heard folks say, oh, well, for every rural voter that we lose, we're going to gain two in an urban area. And that's not necessarily the vision that I have or the credence that I follow. And so one thing that I learned from being there this week is really, nobody knows our districts like we do. We are the ones that live here. We are the ones that are out talking to the voters every day. So we know what it feels like on the ground. And so, I just need to get out there and be authentic and talk to folks and just really let them know that we're running our race. We're not running a race for the DCCC. We're not running a race for the Democratic Party. We are running a race for the people who live in the 6th Congressional District, and that's why I am here. And so I think that that's something that voters are really hungry for. But I think that we're going to see a lot of that. And there was a lot of messaging around that, being authentic, running your race. So many of these races have been so nationalized for so long in a bad way. And so we've got to bring those back. We've got to real every election is local. And that used to be something that we talked about all the time, and it's kind of gone away from that, but we've got to bring it back to that right now.
So, some time ago, I heard a consultant, political consultant, talk about the messaging grid, which I'm sure you're familiar with. I had never heard of it until I saw this person draw it on a marker board. And he talked about, okay, there's four squares. In one square, you put three bullets that you say about yourself. In another square, you put three bullets that you're going to say about your opponent. In a third square, you put three bullets that they're going to say about themselves, and you put three bullets that they're going to say about you. And so, obviously, part of your goal is to counter their six bullets, as it were. So, let me ask you, if you were filling in that grid, what would be three bullets, and just get three bullets that you would say about yourself?
I would say I am a Mountain Democrat who grew up in Eastern Kentucky, raised by the best elementary school teacher that you'll ever find, and the toughest Army veteran and coal miner that you ever will meet. That I am somebody who has lived paycheck to paycheck. That again, I know what being under a pile of medical debt feels like. And then I would also say I am the only candidate in this race that has experience of running and winning in a seat long held by Republicans. I'm the only candidate in this race that has fought back against the nasty and divisive politics that dominate our elections today. And I'm the only candidate that has stood on a legislative floor and fought back against MAGA Republicans.
Excellent. I would normally ask you to fill in the other ones about the three bullets you think they're going to say about you, but we'll save that for after the primary,
Thanks.
because I want to ask that of whomever wins the primary. So my next to last question is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you?
No, I don't think so. I think that it is early. We're headed into the holiday season. I am really proud of the team that I've put together. Our fundraising is going well. I'm so proud. More than 70% of our donations have come from right here in Kentucky. About 74% of our donations have been $25 or less. I'm really proud of the work that we're doing. I'm really proud of the coalition that we are building. And I'm buoyed by what I hear on the ground, and my heart breaks for the families that are struggling and that are hurting and are wondering where their next meal is going to come from, wondering if they're going to be able to even afford to have health insurance at all. And so I am a very, very empathetic person. I'm somebody that will cry when I watch commercials. So, it's tough. And so I want folks to know that I carry that weight, and I carry them in my heart every single day, and that they are why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm hurting for them, and I'm pissed off for them. And we're in it to win it, because it's do or die. I mean, this is without a doubt the most important election of our lifetimes. And when so much is at stake, the last thing that you want is someone untested behind the wheel.
All right. So my last question I always ask candidates, which is you're outdoor knocking and you have made it to my porch and you've knocked on my door and I have actually opened the door, unlike many people. And I look at you and I say, okay, Miss Stevenson, why should I vote for you? What would you say?
Well, I would say, hey, I just did this fantastic interview with this guy named Bruce Maples. You should go watch it. Now, I would just start talking and say, hey, I'm Sherilyn Stevenson. I have been serving in our state house for the last 6 years, and I was super proud to represent the people of the 88th district. And now things are really hard, and things are happening on a national level. And I believe that I'm being called to step up to do that. And I very much want to go there, because I love Kentucky, and I love the communities here in the 6th Congressional District, and I want them to be the absolute best possible versions of themselves that they can be. I have been a fierce advocate for public education. I have been a fierce advocate for veterans and first responders. I have walked on picket lines with our labor union brothers and sisters. I helped pass medical cannabis. I helped pass sports wagering. I helped put a cap on insulin. So I am responsible to people's needs. And so at this point, I am a trusted source. I'm a proven entity in that I have success of working across the aisle to deliver for Kentuckians, and I'm asking for your vote to send me to Washington to deliver for you from there.
All right. Sherilyn Stevenson running for U.S. House this time, not State House in the 6th District. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being with us. And we will probably have you back on later next year sometime.
Okay, I look forward to it. I look forward to talking to you after I've won the primary.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.